name's Christopher.
I think last week I turned around and said that I was going to do an interview this week, but sadly that hasn't happened, although I'm hopeful we'll get it for next week. Events have conspired against me, sadly. So instead, what I want to do is tell you a short story. This one, in a season of occasional divergences into weird fiction, is called A Roomy One Bed. Simon was currently standing in front of the Masonette. He was tired, and he hadn't even started the day, really. You see, the thing was that his grandfather had not made many plans before his death. Despite the fact that he was quite old, he had decided not to sort out any of his affairs. I mean, that's understandable. Many people don't. And so, with Simon, a man in his early 30s, who lived alone and with no other family, he was left to kind of, at the very least, start pilfering through, clearing out, and getting the Masonette ready for sale. It was an old Edwardian house, about 140 to 150 years old. Sadly, his grandfather did not own all of it. Instead, it was quite pokey, in truth. Two small rooms on the left, a kitchen, and a bathroom, and a storage utility cupboard as well, that seemed to be always locked. There was a lot to do. The funeral would be in last week, but he needed to clear the space to get it ready for sale, and then there were other things as well. Bank accounts, various utility bills, the entire, an old man's life, wrapped up in a variety of different things. Even right down to trying to get hold of his energy supplies, and whoever it was that currently provided his phone for him, whether that be a mobile contract and as well the landline. We have a million different strings and a million different things that link us to the world around us, whether that be streaming subscription services or various subscriptions to products or bills or mobiles, and all of that tapestry of life. At the death of you, the heart of it, is always left up to somebody else to kind of sort. Email addresses that would no longer have a password, kept so secure in the past to stop people from logging in. Social media accounts that could have been dormant for years, but still are used to kind of message people, slowly pinging as people try and find out if you're okay after your trip to the hospital, when in actual fact, sadly, you will not be able to respond permanently. All of this was now left up to Simon, and he was begrudging, in truth. His family had effectively moved away and died. His father had been absent since his birth. His mother died about 5 years ago, from years of smoking. And his grandfather was really his only touch with his connection to family generally. Simon was not a man who had much else. He had some friends which he went drinking with and going to see bands. But he didn't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or any kind of chance of a real partner. He was cold emotionally, quite offish, quite distant. A COD psychologist would probably put it down to his father. However, Simon simply put it down to the fact that he wanted people to leave him alone. He liked his quiet. He liked peace. He liked to sit and watch television or listen to music or read. He didn't spend much time on the internet except for when he wanted to stream something to entertain him or download more books. His own home, which was in fairness bigger than this one bed Masonette, was filled with things and items that he personally enjoyed. He was a hoarder in the sense that he liked having collections, old VHS tapes from when he was a child. He didn't bin things. That wasn't really the same for Simon's grandfather. And as he stepped into the house, he didn't see a sparse space, but one that surprisingly made him wonder where the life was. It was always an unusual thing for him when he came around. people normally have pictures and stories and the bric-a-brac of their life. Now, even if they don't have lots of things, they still have some. A failed musical instrument, perhaps, in the corner from a time when they thought that playing the guitar would be a great idea of the summer and they never got round to it. Books picked up for train journeys and then discarded halfway through, with a view to pick them up again in the future, but never really getting round to it. Zema's grandfather's house was not like that. Its walls were relatively bare, with occasional pictures of generic prints. A large clock stood on the wall. It was utilitarian, sparse. As you came in the hall on the left was the bedroom, effectively, which kind of sat in the front. The reason for that was that on the right, underneath the stairs, was the bathroom, a small pokey little cupboard, if anything else, with just a shower and a sink and a toilet all crammed together, specially designed to fit the narrow space. A little further to the left was the living room, and behind that, the kitchen. And then in the centre was this storage room, the place where Simon always assumed his grandfather kept all his secrets, his documents, his life. Certainly there was no evidence of him anywhere else. It was always so strange. His grandfather kept it locked away and permanently closed to him. He'd never seen inside it, although, in fairness, it would be barely the size of a cupboard. It always felt like overkill. There was more than just a padlock on the damn thing. There was two pieces of wood that covered the door. Simon and his grandfather, well, they wouldn't argue, but it would be a very complicated and intense conversation. Why it was like that. His grandfather would always say it was to, you know, keep things secure. But wooden boards in your home, a home that's only, you know, so small, seems ridiculous. Anyway, today was the day. Simon was about to pull apart these wooden panels and take a look inside this cupboard, finally. He hadn't expected it to be quite so challenging to do, though. The panels were very tightly hammered in with longer nails than you imagine, somewhere like 6 inches. And the locks were thick. He managed to prise off the first two timber panels, which kind of just exposed the padlock, which seemingly would need hacksawing, and some deadbolt locks as well. Unusual ones, probably from the 50s or 60s, probably bought years ago. Still when his grandmother was alive, for whatever reason. He had an idea about that, though. He went over to the kitchen, in the top drawer, where there was a huge row of keys that had been there for a long time, on a big metal circle, like a jailer almost. He grabbed it, went over, and just kind of assumed, like a lot of things, that maybe this was an affectation of a hoarding situation. Keys that no longer open locks. There were so many of them, it was impossible, really, that they could be anything other than things that had been kept that didn't need to be used anymore. Slowly but surely, Simon began to work his way through the locks. While he managed to find the one for the deadlock, a Yale key, a little grey and a little rusted on the corners, the padlock was proving more difficult. He harumphed, breathed out loudly, and returned to his car. He'd anticipated that this situation at this point might be more tricky. He didn't know how often his grandfather went into the room, but the timber boards suggested that it was rare. He'd certainly never seen it himself. Although, according to his grandfather, he used to use that space a lot in the past. But again, never really explaining why. He picked up a hacksaw from the boot of the car and walked back, and began to attack the padlock violently and quickly, hacksawing away. The truth of the matter was, he was doing it with such ferocity and force that it was quickly tiring, but determined, so determined, and angry. This entire situation seemed ridiculous. Selfish, almost. Here he was, on his own, working in this house, trying to get this man's life finished, in a time of grief. And still, he could not, because of these stupid locks, this ridiculous situation, mysteries, and what for? What could possibly be in there? Very little. The little small room backs on to the kitchen. It could only be tiny. Would it be filled with paperwork? Maybe some money? Can't be much. And if it was, it'd have to be taken back to the bank, because for all he knew, it could be stacks of old £5 notes from 20 years ago. The lock finally gave way and the door swung slowly open. It was dark inside. Very dark, in fact. An inky black. Simon grabbed his phone out of his pocket, played with the settings and turned the flash on the back into a torch and tried to illuminate the inky gloom. He struggled. The light seemed to not want to penetrate the darkness. In fact, his eyes couldn't accustom to it at all. He took a step inside, fully expecting with his arms outstretched to catch the back wall. But he didn't. If anything, the sound echoed. The space was larger than the house suggested. Sam stepped back into the light and walked around to try and check the dimensions of the space, to reaffirm knowledge that he must have known for the majority of his life. He shuffled around the living room and then into the kitchen and took a tape measure from the kitchen drawer. He measured out the space, the wall, and came to the conclusion that that cupboard could be no more than 6 foot by 6 foot wide. Maximum. Probably less, in fact. He was being generous as he was rushing. He went back to the space, the door still open, and began to pull out the tape measure to the similar size and push it out into the dark. But he couldn't. It had extended far further than he anticipated, to the point that it was the entire length of the measure. He stopped, pushed a button to let the tape recoil back into its plate housing as fast as possible, and paused. His grandfather was always quiet and secretive, and it irritated him, because much like himself, therefore, it meant he could be quite emotionally cold. He didn't let a lot on. And this didn't appear to be some kind of magical Willy Wonka situation. This was unusual and dark and dank. And what can you do with that space, which seemingly is working like a magic trick? Was this the reason why he was quiet? Or was there something else? No. If anything, this sudden change didn't change his view of his grandfather. It angered him. Made him more willing to attack, to be fed up with his nonsense and his bullshit. What was this space? What was the story behind it? And would he ever know now? Because there was no one to ask. His grandmother died years ago. His grandfather, now gone. And his mother, who never spoke of it. I mean, her mother didn't even live in that house. Never had. Simon's grandmother and grandfather had had on and off relationship for years before finally the grandmother succumbed to cancer. It's part of the reason why the Masonette existed in the first place, and one of the reasons why they were never close as a couple. He would always insist that they kept the place, that he lived there. And she didn't want to. It was too small anyway. What with a little girl in the house? It created a strained relationship. And as such, in the end, he got his way, but not in the way that he wanted. The family didn't live there. It was just him. No. Simon would not have been surprised if that room was as much of a mystery to his mother as it was to him. The next experiment involved grabbing a coin from his pocket and throwing it. The darkness enveloped it, and it disappeared. He didn't really even hear it echo or bang against the back wall, wherever that was. Leaving the door as wide open as he could, he began to step inside. The ground was like concrete, but crumbled. Soft, but with a hard underneath. It obviously hadn't been looked after. Around him, he could feel cold, dead space. Feeling like it was for miles. He took one step in, then two. He glanced round and saw the doorframe, the rest of the world outside. By all accounts, he should now be in the kitchen, or at least pushing up against the back wall of it. But he wasn't. He stretched his arms out and took another step. He reached his arms up, but could not touch the ceiling. He waved his arms around him and could not feel walls. He took a fourth, a fifth, a sixth step into that inky blackness. He turned around again and saw the door, a little further away now. He reached down, tugging his phone out again, and tried to use the light on it to see. But there wasn't files or documents or life or anything in that space. There seemed to be nothing. And the light that he used didn't really illuminate anything. It stretched out. But without anything to reflect back on. Felt fairly useless. He stepped again and again and again. Frustration more than anything. Trying to understand what was happening and why. He was angry. Why did his grandfather not tell him about this? This incredible thing. This thing that felt impossible. A world. I mean, God. A dark, black world of nothing. But something that can be explored. That can be understood. Was his life hidden in here? Did this one bed space? Is that why he wouldn't leave? Because he was scared? Did he want it too much? Did he want to possess it? I mean, with something like this, if you told somebody else, they'd take it away from you, wouldn't they? It would be scientifically examined and no longer his. In that thrust of excitement and wonder, Simon realised he'd stepped quite a lot further in than he'd initially anticipated. In the space, as he was in that inky darkness, and far too far away from where he needed to be, he could hear something scratching. It sounded like there was something within in the space near him, or at least aware of him. He could feel eyes on his back, and in his panic, decided it was definitely time to examine this space in a different way. He thought to himself it would be best, therefore, to return back. He turned round and saw the door in front of him, a little further away now, but we're still with some daylight shining through. But what he hadn't anticipated, and what he hadn't checked, was that door was on a spring, and was aimed to lock itself. A final security measure set up by his grandfather. When he'd opened the door as wide as he could, he set up a series of cogs in place, which were currently almost silently whirling. The world that he was in now, this dark blackness, had no right to intrude into our own. And at some point in the past, Simon's grandfather had realised that and set this device in motion. So, if anyone ever did know and open and try and bring something back from this inky black, the door would shut on itself and leave this place away from the world and whatever or whoever it contained within. You see, Simon had always assumed that the locks and the timber frames were designed to keep other people from going in. But he was wrong. And as that door shut, as he rushed towards it, he realised that that wasn't the case. In actual fact, it was designed to keep whatever was in this space out from the real world. And then the door slammed and left him in the dark, waiting for that thing that his grandfather was trying to protect people from to come towards him. Okay, thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to get hold of my email, please do. It's Christopher, thelasthorrorpodcast.com. Or you can get me on Twitter. It's @orange_monkey. or go to the website, thelasthourpodcast.com. There you can get, you can comment on any of the articles or the podcasts. You can sign up to get a mixtape downloaded to you, which is kind of a mix of horror soundtracks, etc. Or you can contribute to, well, you can click on my Buy Me a Coffee page and then and yeah, and it's up to you. Obviously, I'm not begging, but thank you very much to Matthew Grant Jennings, who bought me a coffee this week, and it was very much enjoyed. So yeah, next week there might be an interview, or there might be something else. So we'll see, because I haven't carried it out yet. But hopefully you'll enjoy it anyway. So, till then, take care and speak to you soon.